thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We will be having two memorial services, one on Thursday at 11 a.m. for Stan Gordon. Stan and their family have been part of this ministry for some 30 years, and a great man of God that's gone on to be with the Lord. So we'll have a memorial service at 11 a.m. on Thursday, and then on Tuesday at 6 p.m. here in the Family Worship Center. Both are here in the Family Worship Center. Mark Cooney. Mark has been an elder in our church, a teacher, a friend, so many things that we will be talking about on Tuesday. But Mark's memorial service is on Tuesday, okay, at 6 p.m. Pray for their family. Pray for all the families that God will be with them. We know where they're at. We just know that we're the ones that need the prayer. We're the ones that need the strength, you know, as we go on to walk our lives of faith. And that's what this is about, the message. Okay, take a look at your notes if you will. And what we're doing this morning is we're beginning what we have called somewhat of our summer series, all right? So most of the summer we're going to be dealing with what we have called the Great Three. Now, the way we came up with the Great Three is actually out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. All of us know the verse. It talks about now abides faith, hope, and charity, or love, as some of your translations will say. But out of the Phillips translation, it says this: in this life we have three great lasting qualities. Isn't that a good way to translate? Three great lasting qualities, which are, say them, faith, hope, and love. So I've been anxiously awaiting this opportunity for the summer to come to dig in to these subjects again, faith, hope, and love. So for three weekends, I will be dealing with the subject of faith, and then we'll move right on into hope, and then we're going to talk about love, okay? So it's going to be 9 weeks we'll be talking about it. And hopefully something fresh, something new, because if they're the three great lasting qualities, I think we need to know something about them. I think we need to know how do they work in my life? How am I operating when it comes to these three great lasting qualities? Faith is important. Would you agree? It's something we toss around a lot as Christians. It's a lot of books have been written about faith. A lot of churches have talked about it. Matter of fact, what is our name? Faith Bible Chapel. They're called faith movements that we've had where there's a strong emphasis on faith. But do you know what I'm praying? I'm praying that as we listen and we dig into the Word of God, that faith isn't something that we've heard about from other people. Faith isn't something that we read about and it stirred our hearts because someone else had a revelation about it. Faith isn't just a name on the church name. Faith isn't just considered a movement, but faith is a reality in my life. I want it to be a reality in your life, what it means to truly live by faith. At least four times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it tells us this, that the just shall live by faith. Say it with me, the just shall live by faith. Think about the implications of that. I am to live by faith. I want to be a just person. I want to live righteously before the Lord, and I want to live the way He wants me to live. So if faith is that important to me, then I certainly want that quality or that element of faith in me. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 1, verse 17 again, the just shall live by faith. Galatians in chapter 3, the just shall live by faith. And then again in Hebrews chapter 10, the book that we're dealing with, now the just shall live by faith. Now, here's a little bit of a challenge, not challenge so much, but a little exercise or homework, if you will. How about for the next 3 weeks, read the Hebrews chapter 11. If you have to read it over and over again, it talks about faith. It gives us examples of the men and women who have gone on before us, who lived by faith. What was it about their lives that was marked by faith that was so important for God to put it down so that we would be reading it in 2011? Find out by reading it yourself. So read it over and over again, and I think the Holy Spirit is going to reveal some very special things to you. Now, I want us, first of all, if you're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, there are 40 verses. And as you read through all 40 verses, you begin to get an idea of how important faith is to all of the Bible characters, we call them, that down through history that are recorded in the Bible. Look what it says, and I'll just go quickly through this, but it says that it's a list of Old Testament saints that were marked by faith. But it says, by faith, Abel, in verse 4. It says, by faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac, in verse 20. By faith, his son, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. Moses, in verse 23, by faith. And then he just goes on to say Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And then he just throws all the prophets in there. And he said, by faith. They lived all of their lives by faith. But look at verse 39. Notice verse 39 in that chapter. Listen to these words, because this is a real key to understanding what true faith is. All these, say all these. So all these that we have mentioned, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive. Say, did not receive. Did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, and apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, as you look at these saints, if you will, these righteous men and women who are marked by faith, recorded in a book that often is said as a list of the heroes of faith, or certainly the faith chapter. If you want to think about faith, go to Hebrews chapter 11. What was it about all of these that distinguished them? Was it that everything they believed for came to pass in their lifetime? No. Matter of fact, the opposite was true. All these, having gained approval, did not receive everything they believed for. So receiving everything that you believe for or praying for in this life doesn't necessarily make you a man or woman of faith. Did you get that? Because there's somewhat of a misconception that if I believe for and I don't get something, or if it doesn't happen, and especially if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, that I lack faith or I'm not a person of faith. And unfortunately, there are accusations within Christian circles that if something doesn't happen as you pray for it, there's faith missing. And people will say, you just didn't have enough faith. You know what I say to that? Baloney. Now, I'm going to have three times with you to talk about faith. So I'm gonna handle that part where it says things like, say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you're gonna have what you ask for. I'm gonna deal with that. But I wanna deal with what is foundational to faith. And what is foundational to faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11, as you look at all of the chapters, and you find out that faith does not mean that you get everything you want when you want it. Faith doesn't mean that you can change the future because you'll have strong enough faith. If that were true, don't you think that Abel would have changed the future and not be murdered by his brother? Think about it for a moment. These people faced some very difficult things, and yet they're distinguished as people that had faith, but yet they didn't have lives that you would say were just the most comfortable of all lives. Does faith mean that you're going to live, the more faith you have, the more comfortable life you're going to live? No. But it does mean something that you have deep down inside of you that gives you a rest and peace that passes all understanding. And that's what we're going to find out as we deal with it today. If I were to give you now a summary definition of just what I have said about Hebrews chapter 11, looking at all the 40 verses and all that is said, here's what I would say. I would say that faith is confident trust in the future. that God has promised haven't received the promise. They trusted in the promise. Thus they live by faith. Let me say that again. Faith is confident trust. They trusted in the future. They trusted in the future that God had promised them. Haven't received the promise. They trusted in the promise. Thus they live by faith. So they continue to live by faith even though the promises were not yet a reality to them. Receiving the promise did not dictate to them or distinguish them as people of faith or not having faith. That wasn't the thing at all. Faith was that they so believed it, it really didn't matter if they received it, they still believed it. Now I'm going to break it down. What does it mean to live by faith then? What are we talking? We're going to look at one verse today. We're going to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at one verse, verse 1. There's two translations that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, the first one is out of the New King James Version. It talks about what does it mean by live by faith. It says, now faith is the substance, say substance, of things hoped for. It's the evidence, say evidence, of things not seen. So you have substance and it's evidence. I like the amplified version of this, which adds some more descriptive words to the verse. It says, now faith is the assurance. Instead of substance, it says assurance. It's the confirmation, or I love this, the title deed. You know, when you have the title deed to something, it means you own it. You have ownership in it. So it's something they own. It's something that was an assurance, or it was a substance that they owned, of the things we hope for being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction. Say conviction. It's an important word. You ought to circle that one. A conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. We are so accustomed to living according to our senses. I mean, we're human beings. God gave us senses for a reason, and it's okay. There's to a certain extent. But listen, something ought to happen to you when you begin to follow Christ. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, and there's evidence that the Holy Spirit has entered you, you've been born again, you've started on a new journey. You know what happens is that there's another sense that is picked up. There's another way that you begin to live. You don't limit your life by living by the senses, but now you begin to live a life of faith. A faith where it goes contrary to what your senses are, something contrary to what the world would believe or approach life. But now you're approaching life based on something that should become more real to you than the visible earth in which we live and exist. And what that is now the promises of God, or the Word of God, ought to become real to you. The promises of your future, what God says about your future, should be as real to you or more real to you than what you're experiencing even right now. Because you see, what we're experiencing right now has an effect on our senses, and what we're experiencing right now, if that's all we believe in and that's the only way we live, then your faith will be like a roller coaster. If your senses dictate how you're handling life, then you could be up one day and you could be down another day. Is this true? Because that's how it's affecting you. You know what happens? It says that when your faith is like a tossed sea, a boat in a tossed sea, you're going to get seasick. Absolutely. You're just going to, this Christian walk, you're going to say, whoa, man, I'm just sick of it. I am trying to believe. I understand, but yet it's not a reality. Because, you see, if you're living there, I see what God said, but I'm not living that. But if you haven't gotten a hold of it by faith, then your senses have taken over, and you're living only according to your senses, and then it doesn't make sense. Does this make sense? It will in a moment. There are three things I want to share with you. We're going to build on the first and the second one, and then the third point is the most important point that we really want to make today. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, we just read that verse in two different translations. That's not really a formal definition, but it's a description of faith, the elements or the features of faith that describe it. The first thing we need to learn about faith is this. Number one, trusting in what isn't visible. Wow. What we need to learn about faith is that a faith walk is trusting in things that aren't visible all the time. It's also trusting in what isn't received. I still trust. I haven't received it, but I still trust. That's faith. It's also trusting what is not experienced. I haven't yet experienced it. I've been told it. I believe it. I've laid hold of it. And then it's trusting in something not yet manifest. It hasn't come about. It's not revealed to me yet. The reality of settled faith. And that's what we need, settled faith. Faith that's stable. Faith that's more like a commodity that is possessed. The verse says it's the assurance of things hoped for, the confidence in something not seen, and then the conviction of things that are not seen. So faith, first of all, is a substance of things not seen. A substance. I've been told all my life that when you describe a word, don't use the same word to describe the word. So I was thinking, it's a substance. I kept reading that over and over again. I thought, how do I describe a substance? Here's what I came up with. It's substance. I don't know. My mind, that's what I comprehend. Substance says something to me. You know what? Substance is something you can take to the bank. Substance is something you can cash in on. It's the essence of things. If I were to use another word, but I don't like the word essence as much as substance. It's something real. I can lay hold of it. That's what faith can be. The promises of God are to become that real to you. You can call them substance. They are so real. The second thing we need to learn about faith takes us a little bit further. Faith gives present substance to something that is future. So it's a present substance. It's something that is now, but yet it hasn't happened. That's faith. Faith is substantial confidence in the reality of something not realized. Wow. Substantial confidence? That really, if you get a formal definition of faith, it's trust and means confidence. But it's a substantial confidence of reality of something that is not yet realized. I want you to think about this. As you read about these Old Testament characters, they had nothing but the promises of God. They had nothing but the promises of God to rest on. They had nothing but the promises of God to hope for. But they had the promises of God. But they had them in a way that I want to have them. Because, you see, they live by faith. And I want to live by faith. So if I'm going to live by faith, then I have to be able to find rest and hope on the promises of God, not yet fulfilled, not yet manifested, not yet a visible reality in my life. But they were so real to these individuals that they lived by faith. Settled faith in it. Not visible evidence that the messianic promises would come true. They heard about a deliverer. They heard about someone that would be even greater than Moses. Moses, writing the first book, talked about a deliverer that would come. Later on, the prophets talked about a deliverer that would come. And yet they believed it. They hadn't yet experienced the kingdom of God to the extent that the Bible talks about the kingdom of God. They heard things like the lion laying down with the lamb, and that when they turn the weapons into plowshares, and there'd be no more war, and there'd be peace on the earth, and all of that. These were promises given thousands of years ago that they lived for, they believed for. So their lives were marked by faith. The word that's used in Hebrews is embrace them. It's just like you, maybe earlier on when we were greeting, every once in a while you embrace someone. Well, the promises were so real to them, they had embraced them as if they were theirs. They were a reality today. And therefore they lived their lives. Promises so real and a revelation of those promises in Scripture so reliable that people built their entire hope on them. They saw the promises of God as reliable. What kind of promises? Promises about the future. Promises about eternal life. Promises about heaven. Promises about everlasting bliss. Promises about a reward that's coming someday. Promises about a joy. Promises about a reunion with those who have gone on before. Promises about the very presence of God they would be in. Here's what the psalmist said about that, David. David said, I look for the day when I will awake in thy likeness. That's what they live for. They look for the day that they would awake in thy likeness. We've had some precious friends and brothers that close their eyes to this world this week. But they open up their eyes to be in the presence of their Lord and Savior. Wow. What a thing. They look for it. They lived for that. They were people of faith. Faith anchored in the promises of God, who cannot lie. God can't lie. So their faith gave substance to the future hope that they had. Now here's the third thing. Let's pull it all together. The third thing we learn about faith is this. Substance now becomes a conviction, which defines how we live. So, get it? The just shall live by faith. So what defines how we're going to live? It's got to be a conviction that you have. What is the conviction that you have? Your conviction is based on the substance and the reality of the promises of God. Not yet realized, not yet visible, not yet manifested. But they are so real to you, it has created a conviction. That conviction is part of who you are now. Therefore, every decision that you make is based on that conviction of a reality of the promises of God that are for the future. Someone ought to be saying yay or amen or something by now. Or at least getting to it. Maybe we're thinking too much. Substance that carries so much weight based on the promises of God that it controls your life. I want you to get this. A conviction of the substance of the promises of God that it literally controls your life. You know, when Jesus Christ enters one's life, when your heart is opened up, because it's a gift of God's grace, by faith and grace, it's a work of God's Spirit. But once that reality of Jesus Christ as Lord takes hold of you, one of the first things, the first realities that begins to happen, you have such a conviction that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior that your life changes. You begin to go down a different path. What is it that happened? That promise of eternal life became a reality to you. You have not yet experienced eternal life. You began your eternal life, but all of the promises of where we're going to live and exist and the rewards and the joy and that eternal everlasting bliss and all that, they're still in the future, but many of you already are living with that reality. Is that true? You've got that reality. So there has been a turn. There has been a change in the decisions you made. But it ought to be a consistent conviction that controls your life. So your life then, you live your life as a Christian battling against the forces that would contend for those promises that you hold so dear to your heart. And that's exactly what the enemy will do. He will challenge those convictions. He challenged them with Eve in the garden. The convictions she had that God was sovereign and ruler and created all things for her, and that his word was true, that she had everything she needed, she let go of that conviction to believe a lie that told her that God was limiting her, restricting her from having something that actually she needed in her life, and therefore by laying down that conviction, she gave into the lie. Listen. When you begin to lay down your convictions and the realities of God's promises to you, that's when you begin to compromise with the world. That's when you begin to compromise with the culture around us. you begin to believe the lies. And there are plenty of them around. But you restrain the flesh, you limit the pleasures, you restrict the flesh, you fight against your fallenness, you resist sin, you run from it, you flee. Why? Because you understand that there is a future reward. And a future desire to come before the Lord and bring honor to His name by the life that you've lived. Is that a conviction in your heart? I know I'm going to stand before the Lord. That's a reality to me. Therefore, I walk in that conviction. Therefore, when something comes along to challenge my life and say to me, well, listen, why don't you just take a little time with this, bring a little pleasure into your life? And yet I know that doing that will take me away from really bringing honor to the one I'm going to stand before in the future, and I want to stand before Him in all holiness and respect for who He is. I look at that and I say, no way. Why would I give up this for that? You're offering me some temporal pleasure or reward for a short period of time that has consequences that I don't want to live with, and yet I have this promise of God over here that gives me so much more than what you are offering me, whatever it is. It's easier to make that decision. Are you following? Is anyone following me in this thing? That's what lives your life. That's the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the promises of God and the future that He has for me. Faith that I'll be standing in the presence of a holy God and a righteous God. He deserves more than what is being offered to me over here. Listen, that's the examples you read here. Moses, what did he have? He had the best accommodations. He had the best teachers. He had the best training available to him. I mean, of all that the world had to offer, Moses was in a position where he had it all until something came along. You know what came along? A conviction. A revelation. A revelation that this is not what I was called to. A revelation that I'm part of this chosen people of God. And therefore, he made a decision. Why? He just didn't make a decision in the flesh or because of his senses. He made a decision based on a revelation that became substance to him, that became a conviction, and it was easy for him to say, listen, I'll give up all of that, and I would rather be a slave in this life and to live eternally with my God. I'd rather be a slave on a temporary basis. I'd rather suffer some persecution. I would rather suffer some pain in my life, because you see, this life is so temporal, and what I have promised is something so eternal and so much bigger than this, that my reward is so much greater than this. I don't have any problem. Moses said, no way, I'm going this way. And that's what you'll do. You'll say no to the world. You'll say no to the flesh. You'll say no to the fallenness of your own sinful nature. And you'll say yes to all the things of God. The just shall live by faith. That's faith. Faith's not trying to change the future. Faith is laying hold of the future that God has for you, and you settle that what God has for you is better than what the world has for you. Listen, don't tell me that any one of those characters in that Bible wouldn't have chosen, because of their own senses, something different. By faith, Abel. Do you think Abel wanted to be murdered by his brother? No. Do you think any one of these, they would have, if all they were led by what was seen, they would have made other decisions? And folks, that's the reality. That's something that has to become a reality to us, that the things of this world, even though they might be visible, that's not what is real to us. What real to us as believers in Jesus Christ is the promises of God that He made. And He said He's going to bring us to an expected end, to a good future. His promise is, I'll bring you to the end. I'll make sure that I'm with you to the end. And then I will take you into my arms. I'll say, well done, thou good and faithful sinner, son, and enter into the joy of your Lord. I'm looking forward to that. It's not the praises that this world can give you that you should be after. It's not the position that this world can give you. It's what position do you have with God? And the only way you can be in right is by living by faith and lay hold of this. So it's not just the assurance of the substance, but it's also the conviction of the things not seen. I'll ask these questions again. What would make you live against the grain of your fallenness? What would make you live against the grain of the world? What would make you live against the grain of your own senses? What would make you or cause you to abandon everything for something you can't see? For the promises that have never been fulfilled? What would cause you to live this kind of life? Conviction. Strong commitment. What would make Noah build an ark? 120 years of being mocked. A conviction. A revelation. He said, I'll set aside my life to do it. And again, Moses and all these others. I want to bring up the last phrase, and that's as far as we'll go today. Faith, look at it. Say it with me. Faith furnishes the heart with firm support in the revealed promises of God. One more time. Faith furnishes the heart with firm support in the revealed promises of God. Would you stand with me, please? This is faith. So now, do you know what it means to me when it says the just shall live by faith? You know, I have a better understanding of that now. Yeah, the just shall live by faith. That's not just say speaking in things and faking it until I make it, or saying it until it comes to pass. That's not the reality. The reality of faith is this, is that I live a settled faith. It's foundational to my life. That whatever comes my way, it might shake my house a little bit, but it's not going to send me into a dive. Why? Because you see, the promises of God of the future that he has for me is stronger than what I'm facing right now. The reality that is with my senses right now that I'm going through this is not really the reality where I want to live. I want to live in the reality of faith. The reality of faith is I see something better. It's a future that God.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.